May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pure and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Heavenly Father, our Master, and our King. Amen. You may be seated. Last week, we began a sermon series based on Hebrews chapter 11, that hall of fame of faith, God's hall of fame. We saw that there are 13 individuals named there. Each one, it is said, by faith they did something that God considered righteous. And then there are many others whose names aren't mentioned, but their actions are listed there in Hebrews. We saw that by faith each one of them did these things, and because of it, we are still talking about them today. We saw last week Abel. Abel, by faith, gave an offering to God that God accepted, and that God said Abel was righteous because of. We saw a progression. Abel had faith. The result of his faith was he worshiped God. The result of his worshiping God was that he gave God a sacrifice, an offering from the heart. God declared him as righteous. And here we are, 8,000 years later, still talking about good old Abel. Today, we talk about the next person, the next inductee into God's Hall of Fame of Faith, Enoch. In Genesis chapter 5, this is what we hear about Enoch. When Jared had lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. And after he became the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. So, Ole, you still have a ways to go, but you're well on the way. Altogether, Jared lived 962 years, and then he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more, because God took him away. Wow! That's Enoch. He walked with God. Mentions it twice, he walked with God. And then he didn't die. God took him. God took him straight to heaven, just like Elijah. The only two people in the Bible who never experienced faith, that God just took them from this life and took them straight to heaven. Boy, I think all of us would like that. Wouldn't that be a nice option? Enoch. You know, another thing that's rather unique is that mentioning that he walked with God. He's the seventh in line. Seventh in line from Adam through the line of Seth. Seth was the son that was born after Cain killed Abel. If you go to the other line, the line of Cain, the seventh one is Lamech. Lamech was proud. Was proud because he killed a young man, because that young man upset him. And Lamech was taking things into his own hands, and anybody that was against him, he killed him. So you have the seventh in line on Cain's side, killing people and proud of it. You have the seventh in line on the side of Seth, walking with God. What does it mean to walk with God? Well, if you look in your Bibles, you'll find that it's one of those things that's talked about very, very often. To walk with God means to walk in God's way. Deuteronomy 5 verse 33 says, "In all your ways, walk in the way the Lord commands you." To walk with God means to walk in the way that God has commanded us. To walk in God's way. He's told us how to live. To walk with God means to walk like He's told us. To walk with God means to walk in the truth. This is what Psalm 26 verse 3 says. What is truth? Well, King David defines this for it. It's God's word and it's God's covenant. His covenant that He will be our God and we will be His people. His covenant that He will give us the Messiah. That all who believe in the Messiah will have eternal life. To walk with God in 1 John 1 verse 7 is to walk in the light. What is the light? Holiness. Truth is the light. To walk with God is to walk in the name of God. Micah 4 verse 5. The prophet Micah tells us that we are to bear His name forever and ever. We talked a little bit about that in Bible study this morning. A lot of people want to bear the name of Jesus. They want to bear the name of God. They want to say, I am a Christian. But do they want to bear that name forever and ever? Do they want everyone to know that they're a Christian? And do they want people to be able to see that they really are a Christian by how they live their life because they walk with God? They want to bear the name Christian because it's a cool thing to do, but they don't want to live it. See, walking with God is truly bearing that name of God forever and ever in the way that God wants us to bear that name, where we live for Him. To walk with God means to walk in the fear of the Lord. This is what the prophet Nehemiah said, Nehemiah 5 verse 9, and we talked about that before. What does that fear mean? It means utter respect, utter reverence for God at all times. We always walk with just this respect for God, a reverence that acknowledges He is God the Father Almighty, the Creator of everything, including our salvation. To walk with God means to walk in the law of God. Psalm 119 verse 1, King David tells us that we are blessed when we walk in the law of God. Think of the Ten Commandments. If every person in this world would simply follow the Ten Commandments, think of the world we would live in. Is it any wonder then that King David says, blessed are those who walk in the law of God? What goes around comes around. We have a real good living manual given to us. To walk with God, well, John writes and says, this is love and obedience. To walk in God is to walk in love and obedience. To love God above all things. Do an inventory of your heart. Is there anything in there that you love that you would not throw away God asked you to get rid of it for His sake? Would you be willing to give up your house? Would you be willing to give up the new car? Maybe the flat screen TV? Would you be willing to give up your child or your spouse? Is God really number one? Walk with God means He is. You love Him above all things, and as a result, you do obey Him. To walk with God is to walk in the path of righteousness. I have found this to be my prayer more and more and more as I consider our country. I love our country. But I don't think we have very many leaders who want to walk in the path of righteousness. That is, to do what is right. Not what's politically expedient. Not what will get you your votes. But to simply say, I will do what is right. To walk with God, well, 1 John 2 verse 6 puts it this way. Whoever claims to life or to live in Him, that is Jesus, whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. To walk with God means to walk the path that Jesus walked. And that path was a path that took Him all the way to His death. Because that's what God called Him to do. The Bible also tells us what a walk with God is not. It tells us that it is not walking according to the sinful nature, Romans 8 verse 4, but according to the Spirit. We don't adopt the ways of this world. We follow what the Bible tells us. It is not the way of evildoers. And that's D-O-E-R-S. Again, I just have to clarify that for personal reasons. Okay? But we find that in Proverbs 4, verse 14. In fact, it says, do not set your foot on the path of evildoers. In other words, don't even veer off of the path of God. Just stay on the path that God has set for you. It is not to walk in the dark ways. It is not to walk in the darkness. You know, the image that's there is that the path of God is a pathway that is lit. And it is lit. Here's how it's lit. And the beautiful thing about the path of God is it's lit and you can see where you're going. You're headed towards Him. But if you step off that path, you're in the darkness. You don't know exactly where you're going. You're off chasing all the other cares and affairs of this world. But we know where it will end up. In the place of utter darkness. A place reserved for Satan and his demons. It is not a walk in the counsel of the wicked. Psalm 1 verse 1. We don't stand in the way of sinners. We don't sit in the seat of those who mock God. We delight in the law of the Lord. And Micah 2 verse 3 tells us, it is not a walk in pride. We are to humble ourselves and realize God's number one. Enoch walked with God. Wait. I said that wrong. By faith, Enoch walked with God. That's how the writer to the Hebrews writes it. By faith, Enoch walked with God. Why does he put by faith there in the front? Well, if we continue reading there to verse 6, you see very clearly why he says, by faith, Enoch walked with God. He writes and he says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's the Bible. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. A lot of people will say, oh, well, this guy's a good man or this lady's a good lady. Really? Does she have faith in God? The God of the Bible. Because without faith in the God of the Bible, there is no one who is good and there is no one who does a single good thing. And you might say, oh, that's insane. There's all sorts of people that do good things and aren't Christians. No, there aren't. The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. Now let me explain why that works out that way. Because the Bible tells us that in all that we do, we are to glorify God. You see, faith leads us to walk in the ways of God. And when we walk in the way of God, everything that we do to glorify God. But it starts with faith. By faith, we walk with God. As we walk with God, we live for Him. As we live for Him, we do good. As we do good, we glorify Him. Take out the by faith. If you don't have faith, you do not live for God. You live for yourself. And so anything that you do that you think is good is to glorify yourself. The praise goes to you, not to God. This is why the writer to the Hebrews says, without faith, you cannot please God. Because without faith, you're pleasing yourself, not glorifying Him. Enoch walked with God by faith. By faith, he walked with God. By faith, he did good. By faith, he was rewarded. He was counted as being righteous, and by faith, he was taken to heaven without dying. Enoch, a pillar of faith. A pillar of faith that Jude speaks of. Jude, the brother of Jesus. He uses Enoch as one who did walk with God because the people that he was writing to were not walking with God. And so he says to them, I find it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith. Well, why was that needed? Why did they have to contend? In other words, kind of fight for the faith. Well, he continues, he says, for certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation. Ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. What does he mean, who long ago were designated for this condemnation? Well, we're going to hear about that in a minute. But what does he say these people are doing that have crept into the church? Well, he compares them in Jude 7 to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. The whole thing of sexual pleasure and everything has become the overriding theme of their life. They have perverted it in every way, shape, and form. And think about what that's saying when he compares them to Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember when the angels came to take Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah? The men of the city came to Lot's house and said, bring those angels out so that we can rape them. Wow. That's pretty bad. Jude continues on. He says, they rely on their dreams. In other words, what they think is what they want, and that's what they rely on. What they dream of, that's what they go for. That's what they want. He came to angel food. Shared with me that he was raised a Baptist, that he read the book. Then he kept on reading and realized that Jesus had gone off to the Far East for 14 years and learned under Buddhist priests, and that the true message of Jesus is found in the teachings of Buddha. You know what? There's someone who's chasing after his dreams. He doesn't like what the Bible says. So he's going to dream of something that sounds just a little bit nicer and follow that. Jude tells us that these are people who defile the flesh, that they reject authority. That is, he says very clearly, they reject Jesus as Lord and they reject God's Word. He says that they are people who blaspheme the glorious ones, that is the angels. They're flippant about the angels. They just kind of joke about the angels, about spiritual things. I can't help but thinking about, you know, in America today, how people just seem to think they got this little guardian angel in their back pocket and they're just going to wing them out whenever they need them. Oh, we are dealing with holy and precious things. We don't deal with them flippantly. This is serious. This is the stuff that we love. This is our salvation. And so Jude looks at these people and he says, they're blemishes on your love feast, or they're blemishes when you celebrate communion. He says, they're waterless clouds. They're fruitless trees. They're wild waves. They're wandering stars. They're always looking after themselves. It all comes back to them and pleasing themselves. And so now is when he then goes and he brings up Enoch. Enoch. Remember he had said, long ago were designated for this condemnation? In other words, somebody long ago said, they're going to be condemned. He says, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of His holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in ungodly ways and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. He says, Enoch said this. Now you might say, where did Enoch say that? It's in the book of Enoch, which isn't in our Bibles. The first reference we have to the book of Enoch is in the first century BC. Now Enoch lived before Noah. And so the chances of Enoch writing a book, having it stored on the ark and making its way all the way to that time are pretty slim. But yet Enoch walked with God, and do you think maybe there were some things that Enoch said that individuals would say, well, you know, great-great-grandfather Enoch once said, and you know he's the one who never did die. The thought is that there was oral tradition that was passed on from generation to generation, and finally some scribe wrote it down. The book of Enoch, these are the things that have been passed on from Enoch. Regardless, it sure sounds like something Enoch would say. Because if you walk with God, the ungodly are things that upset you, rather, significantly. And so Jude says, look, book of Enoch, you all know our Jewish heritage. This is what he says. In fact, Jude then clarifies it and he puts his own words and he says, these men are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. I thought of that as I was watching the Boxer Fiorina, you know, debate this past week. Boasting about themselves, flattering others for their own advantage. I was, boy, this just is not a pretty scene, is it? Jude says, look out. In fact, he says, you've been warned. He says, not only are they sinful, he says, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. Wow. So what are we to do? What are we to do? Well, the first thing is, if we see this kind of stuff creeping into the church, as a church, we've got to address it. 1 Corinthians 5, 11 to 13 tells us, but now I am writing you that you must not associate. You must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother. Insert the word Christian there. But is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater or a slanderer, a drunkard or a swindler. With such men, do not even eat. Because again, according to Jewish or Middle East tradition, if you eat with someone, you're saying, we are family. In fact, he continues and says, expel the wicked man from among you. We see it creeping into church. We're supposed to expel it. What about us individually? What are we supposed to do? Jude writes and says, but you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. What's he saying? Walk with God. Be like Enoch. Walk with God. And in so doing, bring glory and honor to his name. In our Savior's name, amen. At this time, I'd like to ask the ushers to come forward for the gathering of our tithes and our offerings.